Will you please pray with me? Holy God, we pray that today we might hear and experience a fresh word from you. Amen. So when we were first talking about this summer sermon series, and I heard that the theme for Vacation Bible School Sunday was going to be the practice of awe and reverence, the first thing I said to the other pastors was that this was simply not going to work. Anyone who dropped a child off at VBS this week would tell you that VBS is loud. VBS is crazy. It is joyful chaos, but it's chaos nevertheless. We made something called cave snot one day. We sang really, really fast and really, really loud. We played water games. We ran around outside. We ate tasty snacks. We did everything to help the kids realize that following Jesus is a heck of a lot of fun. It was a great week. But it didn't strike me as particularly reverent. Until I thought about it, and then I realized it's actually absolutely perfect. Because young children, they have this earnestness, and they have a sense of reverence that many of us somewhere along the way have lost. When children hear a story about God, when they hear just how powerful God is or just how amazing God is, they are just naturally awestruck. They can't believe. And so they learn what it means to live in awe of God. And they learn how to act reverently toward God and toward each other. And they do it with such sweet earnestness. And so they can actually remind us what it means to love God and love all of God's people wholeheartedly. And so this summer, we're taking this book, An Altar in the World, by Barbara Brown Taylor. And she describes all these different ways of living so that we can experience God more fully. So especially if you're traveling, you can't be with us each Sunday, I hope you'll enjoy this book. But it's a great reminder of how to cultivate reverence. And she starts by defining reverence. She says that reverence is about paying attention. Reverence is about taking care. It means moving from fear to awe. Reverence, she tells us, is the virtue that keeps people from trying to act like gods. When we recognize that only God is God and we are not, we're freed from trying to control every aspect of our lives, and we're free to revere the world around us. And so we see that in the story we just heard about Moses. Moses encounters God, and he is awestruck. He immediately hides his face. He can't look directly at God. And that's not because God is scary or because God is mean. It isn't because God wants us to be fearful, but it's just because God is so awesome that you can't even imagine what it would be like to look at and to see God. And when we realize this, when we realize that there is something in this universe that is so awe-inspiring, we can't even look directly at God, we learn what it means to revere something. And our book goes on to tell us that when we stand in awe of something, when we revere something else, it allows us to see our own limits. And so then not only do we see God reverently, but we look at each other. We look at other human beings, and we see each other more reverently as well. So what a great opportunity we have this summer, what we have every day, to think about what it means to live with reverence. And let me start, in case this is where your mind is going, by saying what it doesn't mean to live reverently. So living reverently does not mean that we walk around acting all churchy all the time, okay? We used to think that being reverent in church meant that church was a place that we couldn't talk, where we had to dress up all the time, and kids couldn't run around, and we had to be quiet. And so a lot of times when I talk to adults who don't go to church and have no interest in going to church, they share with me those kinds of memories of church, of being uncomfortable and being told to behave all the time. They don't describe church as a place of love and reverence. So let me be clear that that's not what we're talking about. I think we can be reverent even when we're wearing our VBS t-shirts, When we're wearing our soccer uniforms, our shorts, whatever it is, we can still be reverent. But what reverence is about paying attention. Reverence is about showing up and slowing down. When we do this, we notice God at work. Reverence is looking down at the food on our plate and realizing, I didn't make this. I might have done the shopping. I might have whipped up something tasty, but it all started with God who made the raw ingredients, and then it continued through all the hands along the way that brought this food to my table. Reverence is about looking out at the world around us and just seeing the beauty in other people. The funny thing is sometimes we can even be irreverent and still achieve reverence. And a great example is last week our kids created these flat Jesus. I'm going to show you all flat Jesus. There's a great big flat Jesus in the hallway. I don't know who made it. My guess is our work trippers did because it showed up in my office this morning. But you should check it out in the hallway. And then you should take home one of these little ones for you. What we encourage the kids and all of us to do is to carry flat Jesus around with us this summer. To stop and take a picture of flat Jesus sitting with us at our dinner table, going with us on vacation, going with us wherever we are, and realizing when we do that God is with us. Flat Jesus went on work trip. Pastor Nick sent me a photo that the kids took of flat Jesus in the restroom. So you can remember that's what happens when you give flat Jesus to teenagers, but it's all good, right? Because it reminded us, the teenagers did not set out to be theologians. But when I saw it, I thought, oh, they are reminding me that Jesus was fully human, that Jesus did all of the things that humans do, including when nature called. That's what Jesus had to do. And so we're reminded, even in these irreverent moments, of that Jesus is with us there as well. And so when we show reverence for nature and we show reverence for all the beautiful people around us, we start to live in the best possible way. We stumble onto a gorgeous rainbow where we take a walk to the beach and catch sunset at just the right time. And we think, surely the Lord is in this place. And I didn't know it before now. Or maybe we catch a glimpse of a child or a spouse or a friend, somebody acting with particular tenderness toward another person. And we think, oh, so this is what it means to be made in the image of God. That's reverence. And so how do we cultivate reverence? How do we lead lives with this joyful reverence? And I can think of a rather silly, maybe a little bit unusual example to start. And it comes to us from a book some of you might have read, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. Marie Kondo is a home organizer who's been on the New York Times bestseller list the past few years. And she says that when she enters a home, she starts by bowing to the home. And she honors all of the things in the house that have brought joy to the home's owners. Now, at first, I thought this was kind of goofy, but then I thought about it as, what if, instead of living in a throwaway world where we view things as disposable, instead of living in a world where it's usually cheaper to throw something away than it is to pay to have it fixed, what if we, not by worshiping our stuff, on the contrary, but what if we take care with our belongings, with our space? And I thought of a great example of that so touched me a few years ago when we were in Tanzania. Some of us from this church visited the Faraja School, which is supported by this church. And each of the children there had one uniform that they wore all week. And these are children with some pretty severe physical disabilities living in a boarding school. And every Saturday, they would reverently wash out their one uniform and hang it up with clothespins, some of these kids as young as six, and they would hang it out to dry, treating their clothing with such reverence. And I thought, imagine, all you parents or grandparents, you can think about it, right? What if our kids, instead of running into the house and having belongings strewn all over the place, what if they came home and hung up their coats, put their shoes in cubbies, treated everything around them carefully, and not as something that can easily be thrown away and replaced, might we start to create holy ground even in our own homes? And once we start doing that, maybe we could take it out a step further and start finding some reverence in the nature around us. I think it's actually easiest to find reverence in nature sometimes because there's just so much beauty around us. But studies have shown that when people put their hands in the dirt, they actually increase their happiness. There's something that happens when your hands are in the dirt. It literally sends serotonin to your body. I don't fully understand the science, but I get it. Because if you've ever gardened, or even if you've ever just been outside and experienced the feel on your hands, you know how good it feels to be out in God's creation. That's reverence. And then we get to the harder part. Reverence toward each other. Now, I've started us out with some lighthearted examples, but I want to talk about some of the more serious things happening in our world today. How might a culture of reverence shift the way that we view refugees, that we view immigration, that we address crime in Chicago or elsewhere? How could it help prevent some of the tragedies that we see in the news? And you know, you might think this isn't a great topic of conversation for VBS Sunday, but I want to talk about the rape that happened at Stanford, because it's the thing that parents are all talking about. And parents are asking, how can I raise my children so that they're going to be safe? And how can I raise children who would never in a million years even dream of hurting another human being? And I wonder if we were to actively cultivate reverence, might that be part of the solution? Because you see, if we decide to revere other people, that means everybody. That means we don't get to make exceptions. I can't just revere my own children and then dismiss everybody else's kids. I can't revere my husband or my mom and then dismiss a stranger on the street as a loser. I just can't. Not if we truly revere the world around us. And so what if our young people grow up looking each other in the eye and truly seeing the image of God in every other child or youth or adult? If somebody is made in God's image, you can't really just sneer at them or bully them or disregard them or hurt them. You just can't. Because they are God's children, made in God's very own image. And that's what I thought about when I read Joe Biden's powerful letter that he wrote to the survivor in California. And the most telling words to me, the most helpful words that he said, were he said to her, "I see you." Biden let that young woman know that even though she doesn't have a name that's been made public, and even though we don't really know her, he could see her as a human being and see her as a child of God, even if she had not been treated that way up until now. And so I think of those words, "I see you," as words that remind us what it means to live with reverence. Because when Moses truly saw God at work, Moses stopped and took off his sandals. He stood on holy ground. And then Moses experienced God. And the interesting thing I never realized about this story is that it's not until Moses stops and turns that God appears and speaks. So Moses had to stop and had to see. And that's what I encourage all of us to do. There might have been a dozen people who came by before Moses, and out of the corner of their eye, they saw that something was on fire, but they were in such a hurry to get home for dinner or to go to put the laundry in or to get to the next meeting that they didn't stop and turn and see. Perhaps they missed the opportunity to notice this amazing sight. And perhaps we do too when we hurry by. And so this week, I encourage us all, slow down, stop and look. give something or give someone your full attention. And you just might find that you too are standing on holy ground. Amen.